Many years ago, I don't know how this happened, but I no longer embarrass. And it's amazing because if something happens to me, I may slip and fall. I'll laugh at myself. As a matter of fact, we were over in Bujio. When was that? Was that in November? When was that, Monica? That was November? And I do something that I've been doing since, many years, when my youngest daughter was about 4 or 5 years old. She always wanted me to film the area that I'm in, the hotel room that I'm staying in. She always wanted that. She loved that. When I came back home, I would show, you know, her the film. Well, I continue that, and it was during, I think, her first or second year old birthday that I started filming, and I called myself the cameraman. Well, to this day, I am still the cameraman. And so I'm in Bujio, it was a wonderful hotel, and I'm videoing, and I'm walking around, and I'm surveying the area, because that's something I like to do as well for the team, so we know where we're going when we need to go very quickly. And as I'm filming the area out there by the pool and looking over the balcony and looking at the Atlantic and all of that, I did not notice that there were the support structures for the umbrellas in that certain area. And I tripped and I fell while I'm filming. I fall on my front, my face, didn't hit my face, and then I rolled over, but it's still filming. And the attendees of the hotel, they came running down, and they looked at me, and I am laughing. I'm just laughing because I wasn't embarrassed. I don't get embarrassed. I don't know how that happened. And, can we help you? I says, that's okay, I'm all right, you know. So if it goes off, it just go off. I won't be embarrassed, but hopefully you guys will be gracious. I was in the back with my dear friend and brother and buddy, Tammy and Dennis, and it was Dennis who shared with me. He says, I hear that there's a dynamic preacher coming this morning. Don't go anywhere. I says, oh, really? Who is he? And then later on, he says, that dynamic preacher was delayed and you're going to have to preach in his place. And I told Dennis, I says, wow, that really encouraged me. No, really. And I says, based on that, I'm going to share with you a story that God had given me many, 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 many years ago. I was a young minister, and in the church that I was raised up in, you have deacons and deaconesses. And then the next level there is ministers, licensed ministers. And then above them you have elders. And of the pool of elders is where pastors actually are chosen in the church I was raised in. That's Kojic, Church of God in Christ. And after the pastors, amongst the pastors, you have superintendents. I know in the assemblies the superintendents is something else. But the superintendents in the assemblies are equivalent to the bishops in the Church of God in Christ. And then we have our prelate. Well, I was a licensed minister, and I was a young minister at the time, Dennis, and I went to my uncle's church, traveling from Brooklyn to Philadelphia. I wanted to be with him. I had the pastor released me of the local church I attended there in New York, that I may go down and fellowship with my uncle, who's actually an auxiliary bishop now. Well, that night before Sunday morning to go to church, the Lord gives me a dream. And it was a wonderful dream, but all the dream was is that there was a guest preacher, a guest bishop, as a matter of fact, that was scheduled to preach at my uncle's church called Faith Temple, Church of God in Christ. And he was delayed. In the dream, I sat next to my uncle up there on the rostrum, which we call the pulpit. And he reached over to me and he says, "Nephew, do you have a message?" And in the dream, I says, "Yes, I do." And the message was given to me in the dream, so I did have a message. Well, that morning we had breakfast and we made our way to the church. I'm sitting just as I was sitting in my dream next to my uncle because he summoned me to sit next to him there, usually reserved for the elders, but I'm a young minister. Knees may be knocking. And he gets up. Well, before he gets up, he reaches over to me, just leans over, don't reach. He leans over to me and he says, "Nephew, do you have a message?" I said, "Yes, I do." And he stood up and went to the microphone and he told the congregation, he says, "Bishop," whatever his name is, "he was on his way, but his car stalled, and it was maybe 20 or so miles away. So no one really went to go pick him up." And he explained to the congregation that my nephew is going to get up and preach. So Dennis, that's the story. We certainly loved and we still love what God is doing and continually do with us. Stacy had asked the question about, she had forgotten how I actually came here. And since Pastor talked about the first two seminars, I reminded her that I was going to, and I would bring the church to Morningstar conferences in both North Carolina, Charlotte, and in Jacksonville, Florida. And while in Charlotte, one Morningstar conference, I remember Rick Joyner, that is, getting up and saying, this may have been, I don't know, on the second day or the third day of the conference. You know, it was in one of the hotels that he was hosting it in. And there had to be between 700 and maybe 900 people, I think, at that particular one, you know, without really remembering how many people. And I do remember him getting up and saying, "There's a book that I received from Dallas, Lakewood Assemblies of God," it was that then, "and we only have 100 copies." Now, years ago, I had asked the Lord to teach me because of what I was going through and experiencing from some of the elders in the church that I was brought up in. And without getting into that, he began to lead me to different things as it was directed. So he says, "I have 100 copies," and there were books that I would get, and there were only those that he would lead me to. Rick says, "Only have 100 copies out of all of these people." Well, after that service, I went out to the book area where they were selling books and stuff, and I saw it there, and I was deterred. Well, let me not use that word. That's not a good word. I was turned away from purchasing that book by an outside resource. And he says, "Okay." And at that time, there are only 3 left. And so I went up to my hotel room and I slept, but I didn't sleep easy. I was bothered all night long by the Holy Spirit. It was God who kept hitting me in my spirit, I guess, to say for the lack of another word, to go get that book. Now, the night before was only three left. The next day, I ran to get that book, Stacy, and it was just one. Between 500 and maybe 800 people, it was just one left, and I knew that. And when I read that book, it was like how my spirit was stirred. And that's how I had called down here. And it was Pastor Paul who, I believe you took the call and passed it to Pastor Paul. Is that how it happened? Yeah. Well, what I do know is when I had called, I asked. I says, hey, do you guys have seminars? Is there classes? What is it that you do? He says, no, we don't have seminars, but you know, if you feel you want to come down here, we'll just sit with you and we'll go through whatever you would like us to ask. And it was at that time that many of the things that were going on down here, we were experiencing up in New York. And one other thing before I actually get to this message, I remember when Pastor Debbie, Mother Maiden, and Katie came up to New York to our church. My girls were little, and he was speaking about voices, thunders, earthquakes, lightning. And I remember that as he mentioned that, we heard, and I am not exaggerating, I'm standing on the pulpit, so you know I'm telling the truth. And I got my little pocket Jesus back there on the bench, looking this, I don't know if I had him looking this way, but it thundered seven times. You remember that? Seven times it thundered. And we were excited. And so I was speaking to Debbie the other night, and I reminded her of when she was really wondering if she had bail money, because me and Pastor. Now, let me set this up. Let me set this up. Was this 2002? It was 2002. It was just after 9/11. It was just after the collapse of the World Trade Center, and I was in the vicinity. I mean, I was four blocks away. I actually saw different things go on, which I'm not going to speak about right now, but it was like right after that. And there was security all throughout the city, and we wanted to go to, he wanted to go, and of course, when he says, hey, brother, you wanna go with me? And I'm like, yes, let's go to the Statue of Liberty. And to where folks actually, when they come into this nation, they go through, I forget what it's called now, Ellis Island. And so we went. And then he's like, well, brother, let's, do you mind going up close to the statue and just proskuneoing? And I don't even think we had the teaching of proskuneo then. But we laid on our faces right there at the basin of the Statue of Liberty. Now picture this, security was all around, there were barriers, and did we go beyond the barriers? We went beyond the barriers. I Since that time, I said, Pastor, I am with you because I know that the Lord has sent me here. And with all that was that we've gone through, all of us, everything we've gone through, we're still here. Everything we've gone through, there is no inkling of turning. Now, not to say that the enemy hasn't tried. With all of us. But I am not leaving because I really take into account the scripture that says, whom God has joined together, let no man separate. And that's including me. And for me, I see that as marriage, but as marriage in a spiritual sense, as it relates to our coming together as one, because he called us together as one. And I remember saying, listen, if the ship goes down, I'll go down with you. That was just me. And so here we are. We're here. And I'm finding it really, really amazing. Pastor, you had said that there was 49. This is the 49th seminar, and we're coming up to the 50th. And when he said 49, I was like, wow, it's a lot of seminars. But you know what I thought of? Each and every one, it has been line upon line. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And I begin to think that even in the scriptures that we've quoted over the years, there's new revelation in those same scriptures. Now today, much of what you're going to hear, some of it is going to be the same thing. I knew that I was going to be here today. Maybe a month ago, and I had formulated the scriptures in my mind, and so if you hear some of the same things, well, it's just what the Lord is doing. You know, and the thing that we know about our God is that nothing catches him by surprise. He has established boundaries, and we're going to talk about that as it relates to the life of Paul, as it relates to Abraham, and as it relates to us. But he has established us, and this is not on your teaching sheet, but in Ephesians 1:3-4, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord being Kyrios, Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Where? Heavenly places? Where? Come, let me hear you. Heavenly places. Heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Notice what he says, before the foundation of the world. He didn't say before the foundation of the earth. He said before the foundation of the world. Why? Because the Greek word for earth is G-E. And that simply means land. It means ground. But world is cosmos. It's a different word. And that is the orderly design of God. That's before he actually said a star come into being, sun come into being. Before his orderly design, that's the world, cosmos. We were found in him, and we were established in him. What a wonderful God we serve. Now, one other scripture I want to say that's not on this teaching sheet, because I did mention earth, and that's in 1 Corinthians 10:26, and it says, the earth is the Lord's. There's that word kurios again, and we're going to talk about that. And the fullness thereof. The fullness thereof. you know, when I pray many times in English, in my understanding, because mostly, as you all do, we pray in the Spirit. But when I do pray in my understanding, I usually come and pray and I say, Lord, you who art the creator of heaven and earth and the sea and all that be therein. And all means everything that's therein, because he is the God of all. He created everything. Without him, John, the first chapter of John, without him, there was nothing made that was made. He made it all. And there's a scripture also, as I'm speaking in this vein, there's a scripture in Isaiah 45. It speaks of Cyrus, and I remember there were times when there were many ministers who says, hey, God has sent us another Cyrus, and he didn't tell me that, and it's not that I'm some great one, because, you know, I am really, I am one to say, Lord, you mean me? You want me to do what? Yeah, I want you to do this. But there's a scripture in Isaiah that speaks about the Lord being the creator of everything. Let me see if I find it. As you know, I know Pastor used to say, don't worry about that, they're just looking for me. Just give me a moment here. Thank you. You know what? I have so many Bible apps on my phone. I have two I use to study. I have one that I use to sleep at night, and many times it is on. I have a a Portuguese Bible, Stacy. I have an interlinear Bible because I love Hebrew. I have so many of these, so I had to remember which one I saw this on, because there it is. But Isaiah 45 and 7, he created everything. He says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. And that used to bother me. Now, this is the English word, creating evil. I create evil. I, the Lord, do all of these things. And when I looked that up, that word evil is the word ra'ah. We know what that is, ra'ah. But it doesn't mean evil in a moral sense, because we know God is holy. Amen? We know he is perfect. He is just. So when it talks about that evil there, it's not talking about in a moral sense. It's talking about calamity. And why does he do that? To bring us back to the straight and narrow. If Pastor Rob gets off his marker for a moment, he may send calamity, that I would straighten up. The Lord says that my judgments are in the earth, that the earth may learn righteousness. But let's go on with the lesson for today. We're going to talk about Paul at Athens. Now, there's a lot of Bible scripture on here, but I'm not taking these one at a time. And just to set this up, Paul and Silas were in Thessalonica. They were preaching in the church in Thessalonica. And there were certain Jews who disagreed with the message of Jesus Christ. And they came against Paul and Silas. They even stirred up the crowd. And those folk was going around saying, those who stirred up the world is now come unto us. And so Paul and Silas, they left there and they went to Berea. And they get to Berea, and of course Timothy is there with them. Those certain Jews also heard that they were teaching in Berea the same thing about Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And so they stirred that company of folk up. I believe it was Jason. You can go ahead and read it. This is in Acts chapter 17, beginning with verse 1 all the way down to the end of that chapter. But they actually drew out the man whose house Paul and Silas and Timothy were in, put him in prison. Of course, he was released. His name was Jason. And what the brethren did, the brethren actually took Paul and by night and got him out of the city and by the sea, and he was conducted by those into that brought him into Athens. So now he's in Athens, and this is where we're going to start this teaching. But while he's in Athens, he receives a command that Silas and Timothy are to meet him there. They're to come on down. And while he was waiting for them, he's in a certain area, it's called Mars Hill, and he's walking and he sees all kinds of idolatry. So let's begin to read this. That's Acts 17:22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord," and that word Lord there is curious, "of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he need anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of Jesus, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again on this manner. Now, what was going on there? And we're going to go back and really look at verse 26. What was going on there? There were two philosophies actually going on in Athens. One was the Epicureans from Epicurus. I'm not pronouncing his name, but you can go back and read that. And the other was Stoic. Now, the Epicureans, they were those that, both of these believed in many gods. The Stoics were pantheists, they were fatalist. The Stoics believed that God, the gods, were in everything. The Epicureans were about pleasure. They were about food. They were gluttonous. They were also about the gods not having any influence or interfering with their daily lives. They were about ridding of fear of death, fear of the gods. And so Paul is walking into all of this, And if you notice, the first thing I've noticed about this is that Paul didn't go there condemning any of them, saying, hey, what in the world you guys got over here? You guys are idiots. As a matter of fact, Mars Hill, and it's in the scripture, there was a statue there that was dedicated to the god of war, because they believe Mars was a planet of the god of war. But he didn't go in there and say, you guys are dumb. No, he just took one inscription. He saw, look at the wisdom of God. I might have gone in there and says, you guys are just nuts. And that would have just ended the whole thing. We don't want to hear you. You're already calling us nuts. But he didn't do that. He went in at the wisdom of God and says, listen, I see an inscription that says to the unknown God, it is him whom you ignorantly worship. Look at that. He says, it is him I'm going to declare unto you. So again, let's look at verse 26. And he says, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined. That word is horizo. And you can see under the last verse there in Acts 17 and 32, the meaning of horizo. And that's to mark out the boundaries or limits of any place or thing. It is that which has been determined, decreed, to ordain, to appoint. God did these things. So he says, he hath determined, he hath ordained it, he hath appointed it, the times, and we know this is Kairos. And we know that Kairos is those strike points on the line of Kronos. Kronos being the entire time span that God has ordained to be from the beginning to the end. He's not in time, but he comes with us. He's outside of time. He's not governed by anything in the earth, but yet he's here with us. Isn't that amazing? You know, one of the things I want to do, I'm always, always wanting to know more of him. That is my heart. Hallelujah. That's my heart's desire. More, Lord. More. More. You know, I think of Moses. When Moses said, is that in Exodus 33 and 34? When Moses said, Lord, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. Someone was preaching that scripture this week. I'm not going. As a matter of fact, Lord, show me your glory. I want to see you. Don Potter sings that song. Show me your face, Lord. Show me your face. See, I'm about to cry almost, so I really can't belt it out. But I want to see his face. Now, the Lord proclaimed his name. He, first of all, we know the scripture, and I don't want to prolong this, but he says, hey, there's a place by me. First of all, I am going to go with you. But there's a place by me because you requested to see my face, that I'm going to put you in the cleft of a rock, and I'm going to put my hand over you, and I will pass by, and I'll proclaim my name. Well, in the book of Hebrews, when that happened, it actually states, Hebrews 12, it actually says that it was too much, I'll put it that way. It was so much for Moses just to see the backside, because God had already passed by and the Lord removed his hand so that Moses can see that portion of him. That was so much that the Greek words describing what Moses went through, it was like he was temporarily insane. His mind couldn't take it to see that glory of God. And yet, that's what I want to see. Now you may be saying, Pastor, really? Yeah. Yeah, really. What did Paul say to the Corinthians? He says, and knowing the terror of the Lord, I now persuade men. I know what that is. You want to stay, and everything inside you is shaking like a leaf. You want to stay there with him, and he just looks down at you and smiles. But it's just too much. And so that's the God we serve. So horizo is to mark out the boundaries or limits of any place or thing, that which has been determined, decreed, ordained, or appointed. And let's continue on. He says, the times, which is kairos, before appointed, protasso. That word protasso is to prearrange, before appoint. You know, the Lord knew that we would be here. The Lord knew that you who are watching by live stream would be watching. The Lord knew that. And I'm grateful to be here. Aren't you? So that's to prearrange, prescribe, and before appoint. And it goes on, the verse goes on and says, and the bounds, horothesia, of their habitations. Now let's look at this word, horothesia, a setting of boundaries. First of all, that is a compound word. There's a few of these that are compound words. But this one I really want to speak about because it is a compound word. It is based from horizo, and that's where we get our word horizon. It is based on horizo, to lay, and it is a derivative of tithemi, to place. We know what that is. To set, to put, to appoint. And I'm going to give a shout out to Stacy Mastin for her book, Line Upon Line. And she didn't ask me to say this, so I guess she won't be mailing me a check. It says this, when God sets or places tithemi into the church, because he does it in the church as well, when he sets that in the church, he intends for it to be a continuing anointing. You know, the Lord watches over his word to perform it. We are to be continually advancing, not just an advancement, but advancing in his kingdom, spreading his word. Tithemi is also used to describe how God positions people within the body of Christ according to his will. 1 Corinthians 12:28. Notice what this says. And God hath set some, tithemi, some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. And right there is the fivefold. You say, well, we didn't see evangelists or pastors. Yeah, but their function in the church is right there. We see miracles. We see gifts of healing. We see helps. We see governments. We see diversity of tongues. When we read the book of Acts and we read where the evangelists had actually worked, we see these miracles and gifts of healing working and coming forth. So, yes, this is the fivefold. Now let's talk about the Abrahamic covenant. Initially, I had written this out as Abraham's covenant, but the Abrahamic covenant. And Monica went over this, and it was one of my favorite scriptures that she went over and talked about when God made a covenant with Abraham and what that actually looked like. I tell you, it is just so wonderful. You know, the Lord, he doesn't tell us to do something that he has not already done. When you look at the things he shared with Abraham, his son was already slain when he told him to take up Isaac to the mountain and slay your son as a test of his faith and obedience. He already slew Christ. Matter of fact, as you heard me preach this before, Isaiah saw it. You're not going to believe my report in Isaiah 53. Whom shall believe my report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You got a glimpse of what God had planned. And so here, Genesis 15 and 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Adonai, Yahweh, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and this steward in my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And here, you know, when I read that, I began to say to myself, I love to ask questions. I ask God questions. And I said, why did Abraham question God in this manner? Why did he say, hey, I mean, the Lord had just said, think about it. Lord had just said, I am your shield. And Abraham says, yeah, but Lord, I don't have children. And the person that's under my care, you know, this Eleazar of Damascus, he's my heir right now. So what is this? Well, when you go back to when God spoke to Abraham in the 12th chapter, saying for him to leave his father's house, when you go back there, you'll really recognize why Abraham questioned the Lord about, what about my heir? Because you promised. God told him, he said, that out of thee many nations shall be blessed. He told him, those that bless you, I will bless. They will be blessed. Then he said something that was really, I'm not going to say strange, because, you know, God is God. But he told him something that was really curious. Here is Abraham coming out of a nation that were idol worshipers. These people in Ur, they worship the stars, stargazers. And the Lord says to Abraham, look at the stars. If you can count them, your seed will be even greater than those stars. Now, what is going on there? Abram, you've come out of a country that stargazed, but guess what? Those stars will not have any comparison to what I'm going to give you. They may worship those stars, but guess what? Your seed is going to be greater than those stars. What was God saying about that? Do not put your faith in these stars, because you're going to be greater than them. God has given us an anointing to tread upon serpents, lions, adders. Pastor was talking about the snakes and the dragons that soon to come. As far as the teaching is concerned, get ready. As one preacher used to say, get ready, get ready, get ready. I guess he's ready now. Excuse me, scratch that. And let's look let me do this. So he's talking about heirs. What has God already done with us? Did he not make us heirs? Romans 8:17, you can jot this down. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That word heirs is clerionomos. And it means inheritance. That's actually a compound word. It's inheritance. Klerios is inheritance. And nomos is law. And then it says joint heirs in that souk klerionomos. That's fellow participants. Joint heir with Christ. We are a fellow participant in union with Christ. Now, when I looked at this nomos, there was a study I did some time ago. I used to like to debate those who really believe wholeheartedly in what is that word, Lord? That's not going to happen to me up here. What is the word that's opposite creation? Evolutionist. The enemy was trying to take that out of my mind. Hallelujah. Evolutionist. I used to debate evolutionist. And half of them didn't even know the model. It says, do you even know what your model is? I know what my model is. Well, what is your model? My model is origin, net decrease in complexity. Net decrease in complexity. And then what does that mean? And then there's categories. And then we deal with natural law. And a lot of them didn't even know what that was. What are we talking about? Natural law, law of gravity, the law of motion, law of thermodynamics. I used to love speaking with Mark when he was here. The law of thermodynamics. What is that law? There's two laws in thermodynamics. And that is energy can no longer be created or destroyed. And the second law is all forms of energy digress to lower forms of usage. It was like a battery. There's always energy in that battery, but not enough energy to ignite whatever device that you're wanting it to ignite. There's energy still in there, but it's just not enough. So what do? We throw it away. So I used to love debating them. And then there was also, it would kind of go off into me setting the agenda, me establishing how this debate is going to go. And how did I do that? I would say, hey, as far as I know, there are only three absolute cultures. Just three. And it deals with law, that word nomos. And so the first one is theonomos, and it is the word theos or theo. And law. Well, we're no longer, the country here is no longer, not any country I know is no longer under that culture. And how it used to be, as Pastor actually had mentioned just the other day, our Declaration of Independence, that theonomos is, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, we don't really even go that way any longer. And then there's another culture that's called heteronomos. Heteronomos is like a triangle where those at the top dictate to what those at the bottom will do. For instance, you can only wash at a certain time of day. Now, there are some people that do that. That used to be like the mullahs. They would dictate how you're going to wake up and I don't want to get into some other stuff. But then here's a culture in whom we pretty much live in, and not us per se, because we live in the culture of God. But we all heard of this one, autonomous. Everybody do your thing. I'm self-governed. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. Autonomous. Autonomous. good Lord, it is God who established. It is God who appoints. It is God who created all things. Verse 15 and 18, it says, in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. And this is what I was sharing that Monica had mentioned, saying, unto thy seed I have given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. God is not backing up off of that word. Let's continue on. Let's look at the strategy against the progressive appointment and advancing. Remember, I was talking about advancing. We are continuing to advance, or advancing, and not just an advancement, but advancing. But there was a pastor had said something. I'm not sure what day it was, but one of the strategies is the enemy attacks you where you've been established. But we're just going to look, and here's something else too. We have to be careful of our words, what we declare over our own selves. We don't think that's a strategy of the enemy, but guess what? We've been given power. We've been given authority to declare, to decree. We've been given that. We have to be careful of how we speak, even of ourselves, because we don't want to open the door to the enemy's tactics and his strategy. So let's look at Achan's sin. And in this case, it was something that he took that was a physical, whatever it might have been, he took it. And Joshua in 7 and 7 says, and Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, O Adonai Yahweh, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, O Adonai, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Now what happened here is, and we know the story, this man Achan, he saw a god, I believe it was, and he hid it in his tent. And it stopped the forward progression of what God was wanting to do with Israel in taking over that land and defeating the Canaanites. We have to be careful that we do not open any door for the enemy to enter and to begin to buffet us so that it hinders. I believe it doesn't mind hindering, because he cannot stop God's work. But to hinder us, authority. You remember the parable about Kyrios, the Lord giving talents to men, and one he gave talent to and says, Lord, I've gone out and gained more. Second one said the same thing, but the third one was the one that received one talent. Says, Lord, I know how hard of a man you are. I took your talent and I hid it so that not even dust can get on it. You know, thinking he's doing a good thing. Now I'm paraphrasing, of course. And the God said, and the Lord says, you know, you wicked servant. And he took that talent from him and gave it to the one that had 10. Well, here in verse 18, it says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind," well, before that, "whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." However, prior to that, let me just go back and get that verse of scripture for us. The 10 talents. I have a talent. You have a talent. We all have talent. What's your talent? Sing before the Lord. We all have talent. Talent, talent. What's your talent? Did Then he which had received the one talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee." This is Matthew 25. "Lord, I knew." I thought I put it on the sheet so I wouldn't have to do this. "Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid." Fear. "I was afraid and went and hid that talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast this, that is thine." Lo, so here it is. And the Lord's answer, "Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I have reaped where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers," I like that word, "and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury," with interest. "Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which had 10 talents. And he says, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and to he shall have abundance. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." Now, we have authority in what God has given us. We are to, as we are doing, we are to continue to use it for His glory. We are to continue to advance in the kingdom of Christ. Now, in all of the scriptures in the New Testament, where you see the word Lord, it is that word, that Greek word, kurios. It is the equivalent to the Old Testament, Adonai. That's what it is. We've heard this all week. It is from that level of just beneath the throne where the Lord actually functions from, that comes from that level of kratos. And then, you know what? Thank you, Lord. Where is the scripture that says, 1 Timothy 6 and 15, look at what it says. Remember when it says he is King of kings and Lord of lords? He is the kurios. Amen? Of curio, curiu. I'm believing I'm pronouncing that right, but I'm close to it. Which is from curious, and that's us. We're to function from that same place. From the place that Adonai established us. Because it is him who established boundaries and limitations. Now, listen. I'll put it this way. I had absolutely nothing to do, Brother Dennis, with who my parents are. Listen, if some of y'all didn't like your parents, I'm sorry. I'm just going to preach it anyway. Well, let me not say parents. I had nothing to do with who my brothers and sisters are. Now, I'll say that. If some of y'all didn't like your brothers and sisters, y'all ain't have anything to do with that. I had nothing to do with where God placed me in this earth. Nothing whatsoever. It was all him. he decided that my parents would be William and Margaret. He decided on what my ethnicity, y'all know what I'm talking about. My ethnicity would be. He decided that I had nothing to do with it. I love it. You had nothing to do with where God has planted you, but you're here. And we're here to stay. Because it's he ordained it. Adonai breathed it. Established boundaries. We have been given a great commission. Oops, I thought I was finished. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful a few days. Drugs, no, Your Honor. I don't take drugs. Hey, I saw a 1 hour cleaners up there, by the way. He knows what I mean. What are you wearing? All right. Sandra, he's doing it to me again. I've never seen anyone in my entire life who could just have a good time and, man, instantly go right back in the spirit. You know what I'm talking about, Monica? Les? Meanwhile, I'm over here trying to get back. The Great Commission. Thank you, Annette. You know, in Bible school that I was in, we had assignments where you do realize that when Jesus preached, there was no New Testament. You do realize that. He used the scripture as it is written. When the disciples who became apostles preach, the New Testament wasn't completed. So we would have assignments to preach from the book of Isaiah, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you look at Isaiah and the Psalms, I mean, they all speak of the coming of the Lord, the death, the resurrection, the death, burial, resurrection. It spoke of his ministry. You know, someone would say, hey, look, he's on the cross and he's quoting, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Don't you realize he is prophesying the scripture? He know God hasn't forsaken him. What is he saying? It is completion. My God, hallelujah. This is of me that was written, so I'm going to quote it. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He wasn't forsaken. He was just quoting prophecy. So Isaiah 48 and 12, this is the Great Commission. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first, and I also am the last. Who does that sound like? Didn't we hear that in Revelation? The Alpha and the Omega. My hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. All ye, assemble yourselves and hear which among them hath declared these things. The Lord, who loved him, he will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I have spoken. Yea, I have called him. I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Now, you know who he's speaking of. Come ye near unto me. Hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I, and now now Adonai Yahweh and his Spirit hath sent me. Let me just stop right there. Because in that verse, you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in that one verse. And now Adonai Yahweh and his Spirit hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way thou art that thou shouldest go. And I accompanied that with the Great Commission from Mark 16. Remember what Jesus told his disciples? And it reads, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God is saying that to us. Go where I send you and give them what you've received. Give them the saints' message because I've given it to you. Freely you receive, so freely give. Now that certainly doesn't, well, I'll just leave that as it is. And again, and he said unto them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen? As I looked at the back of the sheet to make sure there was no more scripture. Well, I thought you were prophetic. I did too. You know, there's a story I listened to. I used to like to listen to Jerry Clower, and Bill and Martha Joe, you know who I'm speaking of. Jerry Clower was a humorist, and he was a Baptist preacher. He loved the Lord, but he would go around. Does anyone know I'm talking about, Jerry Clower? Yeah. He would go around telling stories of his family and certain stories they passed around, and he had an Uncle Vessie, that Uncle Vessie was feeble, and he asked Uncle Vessie to go with him at a commencement ceremony that Jerry had to preach, or no, had to speak. And there was a limousine sent for them. Have you heard this one? The limousine that was sent for them, and took a little bit getting there, and so they get there, and I mean, they had five-star service. And so Jerry gets up, Uncle Vessie sits in the back. Jerry gets up and, you know, he's on a walker and things because he wasn't feeling good at all. I'm assuming he was on a walk, I believe I remember that. But he wasn't feeling good, Uncle Vessie. Jerry gets up, he speaks, and they give him a standing ovation. And Jerry comes back and he says, Uncle Vessie, I hope you get better. Uncle Vessie said, I hope you do too. Come on, stand with me. Lord, we've been blessed to be here this week in the Saints Network Adonai Seminar. From this place is where we begin to function in that which you have given us. May everything we receive be sealed in us. Everything you have given, even to our fellowship churches, those in the network, those that are on live stream, I speak this unto you. Everything that we received here be sealed in us, O Lord. I ask it in your name. O Adonai, you who have ordained for this time, I can certainly say such a time as this, when darkness is in the world and gross darkness, but we are the light. You have made us to be the light that shine. Hallelujah. Lord God, I pray that you would strengthen us. We had prayed for the missionary or the ministry trips. We believe that your work will be done. Thy will be done in earth, O Lord, as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Lord, as we continue on and leave this place, those that are traveling, you know, we like to say give them traveling mercies, but Father, stay with them. Let the wind of God come upon them. Breathe in them newness of life. In Jesus' holy name, Lord, we thank you. Gird up the feeble knees. Lord God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Bring us back at the appointed time and the appointed hour. For it is you who appoints Adonai. And I bless your holy name now. And may we all say amen.